And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Machuda.
And welcome, everybody, to Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetic Dojo. I'm Gary Machuda, and welcome aboard. Yes, we are here to learn how to explain, defend the faith with clarity, charity, and confidence. And got a great show in store for you today. Good friend Marcus Groda is coming to the dojo, and we're going to talk about something. I met with him a couple days ago, and we were chatting about what we should do for a topic. And he told me about an idea that they're going to start doing on his show, Deep in Scripture. It's his radio show that's available through chnetwork.org, the Coming Home Network. And basically, it's focused around verses that Catholics should memorize. You know, it's a kind of tradition, and it's a good tradition within Protestantism. And also used to be in Catholicism, but we've lost it, of memorizing Scripture. You know, it wouldn't be unusual to find somebody who's older who memorized a whole bunch of Scripture that are, you know, lifelong Catholics. But for some reason, that's gone. And so Marcus came up with a really cool idea for his program. And we talked with Matt Swaim yesterday, and he mentioned that they just recorded the first installment of the program. And it's kind of like a Catholic verse throwdown. I don't know exactly what the official title of it is, but it's pretty cool. It's basically the host throws down a life verse, you know, a verse that they memorized. The guest throws down their verse, and both of them explain why it's important. And then they try to harmonize the two on the fly. So I said, hey, Marcus, let's do that for the dojo because, you know, here at the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Workout Center, you know, sometimes we do heavy lifting, do some heavy-duty philosophy. Sometimes we do conversion stories and stuff. I like to change things up. So I thought, you know, this would be kind of fun. And it'd be great if any of you want to join in the conversation when Marcus comes on the show and maybe share some verses that you have memorized, or maybe you can give us some ideas about how to harmonize our verses. So you could call us at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. And love to hear from you. And also, we are going to do our exercises, which is the Finding of the Fallacy, which the Finding of the Fallacy for today is a kind of cool one. It is called Faulty Generalization. And our Meet the Early Church Father is the last early church father in the West, which is St. Isidore of Seville. So good stuff in store for us today. And, you know, as always, well, why don't we do the shout-outs? I was a shame on me. I was a little reluctant, or not reluctant, was it? I was absent-minded yesterday, and I didn't give my shout-outs till very late. But I want to welcome everybody who is part of the social media posse that listens to the show. Those watching live stream on Facebook and YouTube, it's great to see you. Great to see familiar names in the chat room once again. Hello, Beth, M. Mousepel, and the rest. Good to see you. Thank you for the emojis, Beth. Appreciate it. Yes, the dojo is open. And also, I would like to welcome you. Listen on radio, or perhaps you're listening via podcast. And by the way, all the programs here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio are available in podcast form. You can download it. You can share it. You can do all sorts of great stuff with it. Build your own library. And you can access Hands-On Apologetics, all the episodes we've had, right there on the virginmostpowerfulradio.org website. That's our home website. And it's got lots of great stuff on it and all the programs that we've produced, not just this show, but all the other awesome shows. Let's see. Did shout outs. We did Dojo Mailbox. No, I haven't done the Dojo Mailbox. Yes, if you would like to share, maybe you have questions. Maybe you in a situation where you would like to share it and get people's advice or share what worked for you, what didn't work for you. You know, crash and burn stories or blinding insights, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your emails at questions@handsonapologetics.com. And that goes straight to my email box, which I answer everyone, even though not every email makes it to the show. And also, you know, I should mention this, too. Summer's coming up. As you know, Virgin Most Powerful relies on your support, your prayer support. We rely on you to share us on, tell people about us. You know, tell your friends, share us on social media. But also, we appreciate your financial support as well. And with people like us that rely on generous support, summertime, you know, it's a time of distraction. It's easy to kind of go off people's radar screens, but we appreciate it. So please pray for us, share us with your friends, and support us if you can. We really appreciate it. All right, so let's jump into our exercises for today, shall we? Starting with defining the fallacy. Finding the fallacy for today, like I said, is called faulty generalization. That goes by a whole bunch of names, folks. Sometimes it's called hasty generalization. Sometimes it's you know, other names as well, but we're going to call it faulty generalization for today. And it's a pretty easy concept to understand. The problem with this informal fallacy is that the conclusion, it makes a conclusion about all or many instances of a phenomenon on the basis of just a few data, I guess, a small set of data. Okay, so in other words, you look at a couple of things, you say, okay, this has happened, that has happened, therefore we can explain this phenomenon by those instances. In other words, you're kind of jumping from just a few things to explain an entire group of phenomena. Okay, so that's generalization, faulty generalization, hasty generalization, overgeneralization. It's where you just don't have a big enough data set, in other words, to draw any proper conclusions. So instead of waiting for all the results to come in, you see an initial trend, and then you draw the conclusion. Well, this is the answer. Good stuff. Yeah, that occurs a lot in apologetics. Often with, usually it's when people are looking at like Catholics in the church, and they'll say, well, I have a friend who's a Catholic who does X, which is immoral. I have another friend who does X, which is immoral. So all Catholics must do X. So Catholicism is immoral. That would be a hasty generalization or a faulty generalization. All right, so good stuff. Yeah, it's pretty common. You know, I don't think it's one of those finding the fallacies that the clouds part and, you know, new light is shed upon all, but it is important and it is out there. So let's, without further ado, let's jump to the Meet the Early Church Father, which is the Saint Isidore of Seville, who was born sometime around AD 560, died around AD 636. Isidore was born in Seville. His family had come there a number of years from Carthaginia. Isidore was quite young when his father died, and he was raised by his brother and his sister, both of whom were much older than himself. Later, he was also educated in a monastic institution in Seville, and afterwards, he entered into religious life. Now, his brother, Fulgentius, became the bishop of Carthaginia, and his other brother, Leander, the Archbishop of Seville. But Leander, who, by the way, is known as the Apostle to the Visigoths, just in case somebody asks you that, you know who he is, he was responsible for a large conversion of the Arian Visigoths to Orthodox Catholicism. So a lot of the Arians that were coming from the north and elsewhere, they were converted to Christianity, but they were converted to a heretical version called Arianism. So his brother was responsible for leading them to the fullness of faith. And around 599-600 AD, Leander died, in which Isidore succeeded him as the Metropolitan of Seville. And from that time on, until his death, 36 years later, Isidore is one of the most powerful persons in Spain. He presided over numerous councils and synods, including the most important one, which is the Fourth Council of Toledo, which met in 633 AD. In this, the council stressed the obligation of clerical celibacy, declared that the clergy was exempt from taxation and from certain feudal obligations, and it also decreed the establishment of a college in each diocese for the training of a clergy. Now, this is interesting. This is 633 AD, and already Isidore is introducing reforms in the formation of a seminary, which really didn't take place for the Universal Church until the Council of Trent in the 1500s. So he's way before his time. He was also he was extraordinarily good at administrative capacity. He fostered education. And he also was incredibly influential in the Middle Ages through his writings, especially his work, which is called Etymologies or Origins. Now, according to Jurgens, you know, we rely on Jurgens' Faith of the Early Fathers for these Meet Their Early Church Fathers segments. He says there's no great originality to Isidore, but perhaps he was the most learned and broadly educated man of his age. He excelled in synthesizing knowledge and information from the most diverse kinds. He was a true polyhistor, and what he lacked in depth, he made up in breadth. So let's see. He was. This is interesting. He was proclaimed at the Eighth Council of Toledo to be a doctor of the Church in 653, 1100 years before Pope Innocent XIII declared him a doctor of the Universal Church in 1722. Fascinating stuff. That's Isidore of Seville. Coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking with Marcus Grodi about Bruce.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the Church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his Church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Matuta. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, to Hands-On Apologetics. I am Gary Matuta, and let's talk a little bit about Scripture. It was always a tradition of the Church to read Scripture, to memorize Scripture. And in fact, throughout church history, there were things known as the testimonia, which would be nothing but just list of verses of scripture and kind of put out topically. So Catholics, you know, this is part of our Catholic tradition, is memorizing scripture, praying over scripture. But for some reason, that tradition kind of got lost. Maybe it was in reaction to Protestantism, that it's not unusual today for Protestants to memorize verses, maybe even have what's called a life verse. That is a verse that, hammers down or anchors your view on life. So to help us, you know, talk about this and actually talk about some ideas that he has on his radio show regarding memorization of scripture, we're going to have Marcus Grodi. Marcus Grodi is author. He's written several excellent books like What Must I Do to Be Saved, How Firm a Foundation, Life on Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. You know him as the host of the Journey Home program on EWTN, and also his radio show, Deep in Scripture. And by the way, you can access all this great information on their website, which is chnetwork.org. And Marcus Grodi, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hello, Gary. What a great pleasure to join you today. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, yeah. No, the pleasure is all mine, because I was telling the folks about how we're discussing about the show, and you told me about this idea for your show, Deep in Scripture, on memorization of verses.
Oh, sure. Well, the audience may not know this, but along with the Journey Home program, for a number of years, I had the great privilege of doing a program that I entitled Deep in Scripture. It began on EWTN, and then after a while, the Coming Home Network, we've been just doing the program on our website, and we've been doing the program now for a good 7 years. Gary, you've joined me on the program, I think, at least once, if not a couple times.
Yep.
And we've done different themes on the program. Now, the idea for the program came from an idea where I would travel, especially when I was doing the Journey Home program, and I'd be in an airport, and somebody would ask me what I'm doing, and I might have a symbol on my shirt that said the Coming Home Network, and they would say, well, what's the Coming Home Network do? And I'd say, well, we help Protestant ministers become Catholic, and usually that conversation didn't go very far. So I wanted to come up with an idea that would help spur on evangelization. And so the idea of what became one of our key phrases, if you will, to become deep in scripture and deep in history, is become deep in Christ.
Yes.
And so we did deep in history conferences. We have done a program called Deep in Christ, but the deep in scripture then fit in with that, if you will, a way of becoming deeper in Christ. And so that led to the programs. Now, my scripture programs are not exegetical, doctrinal, theological studies of biblical books. There are other programs that do that by much more capable men than me. My programs have more been, if you will, pastoral, but also spiritual reflections on scripture. And we've had a variety of themes over the year. One major theme has always been the verses we never saw. And I think, Gary, you joined me for that.
Yeah,
you know, verses that they're usually apologetic verses that awaken people to the truth of the Catholic faith. We've also done a theme called hard verses. And we look at scriptures that, depending on what tradition you come from, that scripture doesn't fit. How do you interpret that scripture? And they're difficult texts, but we would often show that within the rule of faith of the Catholic Church, the text makes sense. And we had another theme called being abiding and abounding in Christ, which talks about the different stages of the spiritual journey. But we've come up with this new theme that you mentioned, Gary, that we're calling memorable.
Yeah, what is the title?
We're going to call it, for want of a better term, memorable verses.
Okay.
And what my guest and I will do is that we will come to the program, each of us, with a verse that has been very important to us for our long Christian walk. Mm-hmm. And we also found how important and helpful it was to memorize that verse. In other words, to know it, yes, so that it's readily available in our heart and mind on a year by year, month by month, week by day by day, sometimes hour by hour. It's just there. And I have found by God's mercy and grace that knowing Scripture has been so absolutely essential. And it was in the history of the Catholic Church. I think there was a time in its history when that was more prevalent, more emphasized, especially in the early church. You see it in the fathers. Some of the fathers, like Irenaeus, gave the impression like they knew the Bible by heart from beginning to the end, how easily that they would quote it in their writings.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we Catholics don't make much of an emphasis on memorizing Scripture. We hear it on Sunday when it's read in Mass, or maybe we read it when we read the Magnificat or do the Liturgy of the Hours. But once we set the lectionary aside, once we leave church, once we set the Liturgy of the Hours aside, the Scripture gets set aside.
Right.
And there's a great danger in that. And Gary, you and I both know that when we look at the story of our Lord, when he faced the temptation of Satan, the three tools he used to fight back against the battle with Satan was Scripture.
Yeah.
And that's a model for us, to have Scripture readily available for the different needs of our spiritual walk.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and also our Lord on the cross, you know, he quotes Scripture in his suffering. And, right, you know, that's another thing, too, when you're in the midst of suffering, memorizing Scripture, you know, when you're in pain and you can't think of how to pray, you know, just having those verses memorized can also be a great help.
I believe that one of the reasons in Mass that every time we have Mass, the church chooses an antiphon for the congregation to repeat. I believe that those antiphons are chosen specifically to help Catholics remember those antiphons when they leave. So they're always a part of our life.
Yeah.
And they're usually chosen for very important, because what they're saying. And I think that's part of the way the church, not only through the lectionary, make sure that we throughout the year hear the key gospel stories and key quotes from the Old Testament and key stories and from the epistles. But it's choosing these quotes from Scripture so that they're a regular part of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. You know, Marcus, before you came on the show, I did my own poor attempt to explain to Catholics what life verses are. And I'm sure you could do a much better job than I. What is a life verse?
Well, I don't know if I can describe it as if it's some kind of official doctrine of some Christian tradition. I think it's just something that many Christians, because of their tradition, emphasize. And it might be a bit parallel to when a Catholic is baptized, a Catholic takes a saint. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for taking that saint as our patron saint for our baptismal name is because that particular saint's convictions and life become a model for us. When I became a Catholic, I took Isaac Jogues as my patron saint. And part of the reason was that I wanted, by God's mercy, to have that kind of conviction towards evangelization that Isaac Jogues had. Mm. Well, I think that's a bit like a life verse.
Interesting. That
you would take a verse that is always there, is always a reminder of how to live out one's life in Christ. And so you in my case, when I had my adult, if you will, reconversion to Christ when I was in college, the pastor that helped me surrender to Christ encouraged me to take Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as my life verse. Honestly, I don't know if he used the phrase life verse, but he encouraged me to memorize it and to reflect on it. And it's interesting because at the time I was about to become a senior in college, and so I was struggling with, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And I had had this Christian conversion. How do I figure out? I was an engineer, pre-med, and what do I do? Well, he said, well, why don't you reflect on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And so at that time in my life, the pastor was encouraging me to just trust God, to focus your efforts on trusting him, recognizing that our own intellect might be skewed for a variety of reasons. So you need to trust Christ. And then my number one goal was in everything I did was to point to him, not to myself or to my friends or whatever, but to point to Jesus and then trust that he would guide me. And so I started that when I was age 21, and now I'm age 28.
You're approaching 30.
Yeah, really. No, I'm pushing 67. So I have found that verse to be true all these years. I've never, ever found that scripture not to be true in all of our life. Trust in the Lord. I mean, you know, you think about what St. Faustina said, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. You know, it's about having confidence in God, that he has everything in his hands, and that we might be wrong in the way we see things, the way we question things, and we might be tempted to think and question. We need to trust God, and then whatever we're doing, acknowledge him and believe that he'll, and that's been true that I find. I think it's, you would agree, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're talking with Marcus Grodi about memorizing verses. On the other side of the break, we're going to try the verse memorization game, if you will. So stay tuned, everybody.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We're chatting with Master Apologist Marcus Grodi, and we're talking about a new segment that they're taping for his show, Deep in Scripture, which is available or will be available on chnetwork.org. And it's actually, you know, Marcus, why don't we do something? Since we had Matt Swaim, your first guest for that series, you've already gone through it. Maybe you could take over the hosting duties and kind of walk us through the program, and you could give a verse, I'll give a verse, and we'll take it from there.
Well, the new format for this particular way we're doing Deep in Scripture, just as you mentioned, I'm going to be joined by a guest, and I'm going to invite the guest to come prepared with a scripture that they've memorized, that they not only found important in their life, but they believe every Catholic should memorize. I mean, that's the point. And then I'll come with another one that I have shared. And then the way the program will go, I'll begin by sharing the verse that I've memorized and talk about it, and the guest and I will discuss it. And then I'll invite the guest to share his or her verse and why, and we'll discuss it. And then when we're done with the discussion, the goal will be, let's bring those two verses together and see how they fit. And so the bit of impromptu there, Gary, I think it'll be fun. So you and I had talked, we'll do that today. So you called it the memorization game. Well, I hadn't thought of it that way, but we'll have fun with it. And
yeah, so you're Gary, there at a verse throwdown or something like that.
Yeah, we got to think about it, you know. But yeah. I'm assuming you've come with one. Okay, and I've got
yes.
And so here's the verse that I've chosen for today. And this is one that I can tell you I've memorized all my life. And I'm guessing every Catholic listener knows this verse. You may not know where it is. I think it's important to know chapter and verse, because if you ever wondered, well, where did that come from? And how do I know it's really in the Bible? Then you can go to it and you can look at the context. Okay. And the reason I think it's important, Gary, is because it is one of the antiphons that we use several times a year. And I think it's essential to have this verse memorized. And here it is, Psalms 118:24.
Okay.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Gary, I can't tell you how many times, especially when I find myself depressed, discouraged, and maybe being a victim, and maybe a seemingly losing victim of the spiritual battle of the voices that are trying to tear me down, that I'm glad the Holy Spirit has brought to my memory this verse. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And there was great, though the verse sounds really simple, there was tremendous theology in this simple verse, because the first part reminds us that even before we recognize the importance of understanding God as our Father, Jesus as our Savior, underlying that is our confidence in the realization of how important it is that God is our Creator. Everything we have, everything that exists, past, present, everything, He made. This day, He made. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow isn't here yet. And our Lord said, you know, have no anxiety about tomorrow. The day's concerns are sufficient. So today, this day, is the day which the Lord has made. And then the idea of rejoicing and be glad, it's a a commandment. It's a choice we make. It's an attitude we choose about today. Let us rejoice and be glad in the midst of whatever we are. I think this is an important verse, Gary, for us to memorize and always have there available to fend off the darkness that tries to encompass our lives. Any thoughts yourself about that verse, Gary?
Beautiful. Boy, you encapsulated that pretty darn well.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, you're right, because, like, I think that's exactly it. It's like you have to take every moment of every day that this is part of God's providence, and you could kind of rest in that providence, knowing that, you know, he's in charge and that everything is coming, you know, is flowing from his will. So if you're suffering, you know, it's, you know, this is a day to rejoice, because you might not know it, but sometime down the road, you might find out that this suffering is going to have great effect for good.
And many of the church fathers, many have always affirmed that one of the most important underlying foundations of our faith is recognizing God as creator. As soon as we forget that or discount that, it opens the door for all kinds of other problems. And in our day and age, when even Bishop Barron recently really talked about the growing population of the unaffiliated men and women, young people in our country, in our world, they're unaffiliated because, and the bottom line is, they really don't believe in that there's a God, a creator, that behind everything there is a moral being that established the world that we have and the purposes in our world and our lives, whom we can trust. And it's essential that we remember that and we pass that on to our children. And so remembering Psalms 118:24, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As I think it was an important verse for us to memorize. All right, Gary, what
Absolutely.
Do you have today?
Okay, well, mine's kind of weird. So I actually, this might be good because it's really going to throw us for a loop on this. But mine, of course, is going to come from the Deuterocanon. Okay. But the funny thing is, yeah. Marcus, that this verse, like, really grabbed me early on, even before I got interested or even knew about the Deuterocanon. And, you know, I was thinking back, like, when did this verse really grip me? And it was when I was a young kid, we had the statues of the Holy Family. And I always felt that Joseph was always kind of neglected, you know, because we worship Jesus, we honor Mary. Joseph always was kind of to the side. But, you know, he was kind of a rock for the Holy Family. And another thing, too, is during Stations of the Cross, when Simon is made to help Jesus carry his cross, we would recite this verse, actually a much larger passage from it. And it's Sirach 6, verse 15, or actually 14, excuse me. Sirach 6, 14. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure. And yeah, seems like a very simple verse, but first, who's the faithful friend? First, God is our faithful friend. You know, he is the one who is with us through thick and thin, when we're lovable and we're not so lovable. He is a sturdy shelter in that, you know, he is our protection, our help. He's immovable. And, you know, and finding and learning about God is like discovering a treasure in itself. And also, you know, if you flip that around to ask yourself, am I a faithful friend to God? You know, just like Simon helping carrying the cross. Am I the faithful person? Am I someone who God looks to as a faithful friend? And so that encourages me to try to be faithful to God, you know, in thick and thin, whether or not it's convenient. And it also, not only does it help me with love of God, but also love of neighbor, you know, which seems to be the obvious application, that, you know, to try to be a faithful friend to all my friends, to everybody I know, so that, you know, I can be a sturdy shelter for my family, for my friends, for my associates, so that some way I could be a treasure for them.
You know, Gary, I turned to that in my study Bible, and sure enough, I had that verse underlined, starred. In fact, at the top of the page, I had it starred, and I wrote at the top of the page, "Those who fear the Lord will find a faithful friend." And what I remember that now, as I look at that, I've really been moved over the years. I always underline whenever I read, not only in Scripture, but in the writings of the early fathers, whenever they use the phrase, fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's sadly a phrase we don't hear very often anymore. I really can't remember the last time I heard or read in any of the writings of the hierarchy of the church the need to fear God. It's just not mentioned as much anymore. And I think we've opted out towards the word love.
Yeah.
As opposed to fear. But the foundation of our faith, the ability to love, a foundation of that is fear of God. When you read in the early church fathers, whenever they talk about bringing up children, whether it's in First Clement or any of the early writings, they always say to bring up our children in the fear of the Lord. And the importance of that, and when I think about it in the importance of the verse you talked about, in other words, those who fear the Lord will find a faithful friend, is fearing God, as Scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom. And if you will, fearing God is like turning, it's like a compass reading in the right direction, so that the compass of our life is towards God, and it's recognizing his awesomeness. Fearing God has the whole range of being afraid of God because of my sin. I don't want to go to hell. That's servile fear. But also a fear of God of great respect, which is filial fear of God. And what's interesting about that verse, Gary, it means that if we want, the first thing we need to do, if we want to make sure that we have good friends in our life, that we've selected the right kind of people as friends, and that we welcome into our life the right people as friends, the first thing we got to do is fear God.
Yes.
So that the criteria that we use to discern what it means that a good friend comes out of our fear and love of God.
Very good. We're chatting with Marcus Grodi. And coming up on the other side of break, we're going to move into the second phase of the, first memorization throwdown game. So stay tuned. Stuff.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. We're chatting with Marcus Grodi, and I style it a game because it just seems like it's so much fun. But what we're doing is we're comparing verses that we believe Catholics ought to memorize. And Marcus, I'm sorry about that. We came up to a hard break. Do you want to finish your thoughts on
problem.
That?
No problem. Well, yeah, Sirach 6:16, that's the one you're promoting, if you will. We're talking about really the importance of the foundation of our fear of God to help us discern friendships, if you will. And I think about, I have one of my sons that my youngest son sometimes gets really distraught and disturbed about not feeling like he has very many friends. And, you know, part of my goal is to get him to focus on the Lord. Kind of like we'll talk about how they combine, our two verses go together. But even friendship is a way that God guides us. You know, we have to trust who the Lord's bringing into our life, if you will, and use discernment to make sure we're choosing the right one. But we got to trust that and not get panicked about it. But I was thinking, Gary, verse Sirach 6:17, I can't remember if you re-quoted that when you originally quoted 16, but the author goes on to say, whoever fears the Lord directs his friendship aright, for as he is, so is his neighbor also. So it just expands on what you've said, is that the neat combination between the fear of the Lord, which is the foundation, the bedrock of our own Christian wisdom, if you will, that helps us be a good friend, but we also believe that it helps the Lord guide the right people into our life to be our support network, if you will, our family, so that together we can live our faith out faithfully.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. So we both laid our verses on the table. And so you have, let's see if I got it right, Psalm 118:24. I have Sirach 6:14, but you could really go to 17.
Yep.
So what's the next phase of the program?
Yeah, what we do is, let's think about both these scriptures are there to help us know how to follow Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's why we're memorizing them. But these are from the word of the Lord that help us. So the one is, you know, trust in the Lord. No, excuse me. That was one I did last week. this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The other is a faithful friend, is an elixir of life. And those who fear the Lord will find him. Well, you know, how do they go together, Gary? And that's what we could talk about. Well, if you will, in some way, the fear of the Lord is true in both those verses. You know, trust, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's recognizing God as creator who gives us all we need. We rejoice in this day because that which we need today will come from God. Mm-hmm. Your verse says, well, that includes friendship. You know, that includes our friendship. And who will share this day with us? And what kind of people we are to be in this day that God has given us.
Right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I was thinking of, taking Sirach and looking at Psalm 118, is that God being a faithful friend, will not try us beyond our abilities, you know, but he'll give us what we can handle. And so, this is the day that the Lord has made because he's our friend. He gives us what we need at this particular time.
Well, very good. Yeah. That's the gist of our new Deep in Scripture programs. It was kind of fun, and I'm looking forward to the different guests that'll join me. I hope you'll join me on the program too, Gary.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To have her, but again, you know, maybe the gist of it really is, Gary, for your present audience, is encouraging people to not just be satisfied with hearing Scripture on Sunday, but really on a day-by-day basis to open your Bibles if you're not already doing it. Of course, I encourage people to underline and mark in their Bibles. It really is. I find it so helpful when I open Scripture, just like, you know, you mentioned this verse, Gary. I opened up my Bible, and I see that sometime in the past, I recognize the value of that too. So,
yeah.
But memorizing it so that it's a regular part of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing that Catholics don't do is, in for Protestants, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a well-worn Bible that's dog-eared and highlighted and marginal notes, that's a sign of a truly godly person. Where if you had a nice pristine, you know, copy of Scripture, they kind of look at you like a newbie, right? And for Catholics, I don't see a lot of annotation or highlighting.
Yeah, not being a lifelong Catholic, I don't know the tradition behind not writing in the Bible, but it's been a part of my life as long as I've known the importance of it.
Yeah.
And the other value is that the idea of having a Bible that you always use, and if possible, all your life, so that it becomes like when our Lord says, when you pray, go into your closet. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible's like my closet. That's the place I go to pray. Catholics, we call it Lectio Divina. I've always prayed with Scripture, and I can't imagine reading the Bible without it being prayerful. Even if I'm just reading a story from 1 Samuel or something, there's somehow I know God's speaking, and so I'm listening. And that's why we underline. So here's a Scripture, you know, like that verse you mentioned, Gary, that whole section of Sirach. I've got all kinds of verses that are underlined that deal with friendship.
Yes. Yeah, it's good to, you know, it's great to memorize because you have it with you no matter where you go, whether you have a Bible or not. You know, sometimes the Lord will kind of prompt you to give somebody a verse because it seems like they need to hear that word. But it's also great to underline because it's almost like a prayer journal sometimes. You can go back and see, you know, what were the verses years ago that really stuck out at me, and kind of, you could, you know, just kind of review your spiritual growth.
Yeah, I just as you were talking, I was just glancing through Sirach, and here's a verse that not only do I have this verse underlined in bold, but I have a square written around it with a bold side and then a star at the top. And the verse is Sirach 7:36, in which it says, in all you do, remember the end of your life, and then you will never sin.
Wow.
I mean, it's a fascinating verse. That in all you do, if you remember the end of life, in other words, we'll stand before God.
Yeah.
That will discourage us from sinning. I mean, it's an important verse, and it's in the Old Testament, so it's very much in line with the teachings of Christ and the church.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a doctor of the saints. I think it was St. Teresa, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. I think it was a Little Flower who said that if you realized God's omnipresence at every moment of the day, you would never sin. And that kind of fits into that too, because at the end of time, you know, all that we do will be seen. And that would be a great discouragement to sin, because for some reason, Marcus, I don't know about you, but I know with me, I have this insane notion that somehow God isn't paying attention.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a hard, I can only speak for myself, but I have a hard time not only thinking about the end of life, but just thinking 1 hour ahead, you know, and, yeah. and when I've committed myself that I'm going to, I'm going to do something or not do something. And then an hour later, I think, whoa, what was I thinking? You know, and, you know, the devil laughs. But it's interesting you made that quote from, it could have been either of the Teresas. They, in fact, may have been quoting Sirach. In other words, they may have memorized that very verse.
That's true. That's true.
You know, that may have been there. They memorized that because they saw how important it was to remember it all the time.
Yes. Yes. And that's what makes them saints. In fact, there was a biography of Padre Pio. I can't remember the author's name, but it's a Protestant. And he goes on and on about one of the most attractive things was he was so impressed that Padre Pio could cite the minor prophets, you know, from memory. And it's like, well, you know, Padre Pio is soaked in scripture. I mean, that's interesting. You know, Catholic saint, one who's known for all the spiritual gifts that he had. But, you know, he himself memorized scripture.
Yeah, I'm quite positive that any of us reading the lives of any of the saints before the 20th century, we would find that lives were overflowing with scripture.
Absolutely.
And what happened, let's face it, in the 20th century, increasingly, our lives became inundated with distractions, with other things, other books, more interesting resources, if you will, more enticing media, videos, online stuff. Right. And so in time, our mind doesn't, we're not patient enough to know scripture the way the saints were.
Yeah.
And I remember Einstein, the story goes that somebody asked Einstein for his home phone number and Einstein didn't know it. And they said, you don't know your home phone number? And Einstein said something like, well, I reserve my brain cells for important things, or something like that, you know. And
right.
Well, what do we use our brain cells for? You know, what are the important things that we know, that we fill our mind with? And it would seem to me that the church has always encouraged us to know the Word of God so that it's readily available.
Right. Very good. We're running to the end. Boy, this hour flew. We're running to the end of the program. Marcus, people can get information about the Coming Home Network through the website?
Yes.
Which is chnetwork.org. Very good. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Gary, for the invite. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Marcus Grote, ladies and gentlemen. And, it flew. It's already time to shut down the Midwest Command Center and turn off the Dojo lights here. Coming up next, we have Dynamic Catholic Talk with the Terry and Jesse Show. And tomorrow, we're going to talk to a new fellow. His name is Steve Ott, about an evangelist on Wall Street. So you don't want to miss it. Thank you so much for listening to the program. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.